It's budget day at City Hall. Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Last week it was President Obama. The week before it was Governor Cuomo. Today it's Mayor Bloomberg's turn to propose the specific ways that he will close the budget gap in this year of government fiscal crises. Governor Christie, by the way, goes next week. But Bloomberg delivers the budget address at noon. Already released is that it's a $2 billion gap. That compares to $10 billion on the state level and $1.5 trillion at the federal level, which they're not even trying to completely close this year. But the state and city must balance their budgets by law. So here we are. And the headline so far is that the mayor will propose to drop more than 6,000 teachers, or 8% of the teaching force, from the New York City public schools, 4,600 through layoffs, 1,500 through attrition. Now, to avoid that fate, the mayor is asking the state for more money and asking the teachers' union to accept any layoffs by merit, not seniority. That allows some more expensive teachers to be cut, so fewer teachers altogether. WNYC education reporter Beth Furtick is here to help us make sense of this as a negotiating strategy and a possible scenario for life in your child's school, because it could actually happen. We'll also talk about the PCBs found in some New York City schools and what they mean for children's health. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
So 4,600 teacher layoffs proposed, another 1,500 positions to be lost through attrition next school year. But the teachers union president, Michael Mulgrew, is quoted today calling the mayor's warnings a politically bogus game. And the New York Times points out that the mayor has threatened large-scale layoffs in past years and never actually implemented them. Is this for real?
The prediction today, or the proposal to reduce 6,166 teachers next fall, is no different than what the mayor proposed back in November. So we should be very clear about this. This is exactly what he predicted at the end of last year. Then he began to talk about thousands more, perhaps, because of the state's budget cuts. And so before we even heard Governor Cuomo's budget, you may remember the mayor was saying there could be another 10,000 teachers reduced.
I remember hearing the number 15,000 teachers.
Well, then he backed off and said 10 to 15,000 city employees because he wanted the governor to get rid of that $12,000 a year bonus for retired city workers. Certain workers get this.
And police, he said, and firefighters.
Yeah, if you don't get rid of this, I'm going to have to fire another 10 to 15,000 or eliminate 10 to 15,000 city employees, many of whom will be teachers. Then he backed off of that. So we're back to square one, which is 6,100 teachers reduced, which is exactly what he said. So in one way, there's no news at all, Brian. This is what he was saying all along, except that now he's blaming the state, because what he's saying is we came up with extra revenue and the city was able to offset these cuts from the state with our own revenue. So that's why we only have to cut 6,100 teachers as opposed to more. But state, if you give us more money, we wouldn't have to do this. And by the way, this whole business about merit pay, or not merit, seniority status for teachers, getting rid of those who are the last in, first out policy, that is not a budget saving measure. And I just want to be clear about that.
That's supposed to improve the quality of education by keeping better teachers. But there is a clip of the mayor that we played a few weeks ago and had Michael Mulgrew, the union chief, react to, where the mayor does seem to explicitly say that it is, in part, a budget-saving measure, because if they have to lay off only the cheapest teachers, the newest ones, and keep only the most expensive teachers, the most experienced ones, that's a budget buster. I mean, he has gone there explicitly in the past, to my ear.
But he backpedaled on that, or at least his administration backpedaled on that this week when Schools Chancellor Kathy Black and Deputy Mayor Dennis Walcott were testifying on the budget effects in Albany. They were asked pointedly by, I believe it was Andrew Lanza of Staten Island, Assemblyman or state senator, they were asked, is this about cutting the budget? And they said, no, this is about making sure that when we do have to eliminate teachers, that we only have the best teachers, that we don't have to get rid of some who are newer but maybe better. So it's as I've spoken to many teachers who say this is muddying the waters. You know, you've got on one issue the budget cuts, and then you've got the administration's desire to get rid of a policy that it says is tying its hands to teachers it may not want to keep, and which, by the way, could be more expensive.
Our crack research team just confirmed that Lanza is, in fact, state senator.
Thank you.
I didn't know either. So we're seeing in action Michael Bloomberg, the former businessman, the warnings, whether he believes them or not, the positioning about the merit versus seniority as either about teacher quality or about pay. All of this helps him negotiate more aid from the state and more concessions from the union. So we don't really know what's going to happen here. But let's look at those numbers that are in the budget and take them seriously, because there is a fiscal crisis. Some real things are going to be cut, and that may well include some teacher positions. And as we said, the total cut for the city after 4,600 layoffs and another 1,500 through attrition would be more than 6,000 fewer teachers, or about 8% of the teaching force. Opening shot at negotiation, not the final deal. But what if the city school children, Beth, have 8% fewer teachers? What happens in a school that already has 30 kids per class if they lose 8% of the teachers?
Obviously, you're going to see class sizes go up. That's the concern I hear again and again from teachers and from parents who have been concerned about this. And I think if you're already, we have a hiring freeze, except for the positions that are hard to fill, meaning special ed, math, science. And the city is continuing to recruit new teachers, in fact, for those positions on the assumption that it may still need them, but we won't know for several months still to come. So I would envision that you would have fewer cluster teachers, perhaps, in the elementary schools, teachers who work with different classes but are not the classroom teacher. You may have fewer school aides. Again, the mayor, those were reduced already last year. There'll be fewer if you have schools where there's a couple of English teachers, you may not need the third. So they'll increase class sizes by doing things like that. That's what I hear again and again, is that this is what they do traditionally when the excess teachers, if a school's budget is cut, they'll say, oh, who do we absolutely not need? We'll just make those classes a little bigger. Or maybe our enrollment shrank. You know, you have to look at each school, because in some cases they're adjusting mid-year right now for what their enrollment really was.
And also maybe less academic intensity. My son is in a New York City public middle school, and a couple times a week they have either double humanities or double math. So if they're doing six or seven periods in some schools a week of humanities or math, maybe that's going to be cut back to five. And what they think is that super focus on these core subjects, you know, may get reduced.
There's also another thing I should just mention that they did yesterday, which was not given as much press with this. They sent out a memo, the DOE sent out a memo to all the principals telling them, for the first time ever, if you have extra funds that you were planning to roll over into next school year, say you had, you know, an extra $200,000 that you didn't need to spend this year and you were going to budget in for next year because you knew that there were probably going to be cuts and you want to protect yourself and be fiscally prudent, the city now wants to take half of that money that you set aside, which means there's no incentive anymore for a fiscally prudent principal to use a cushion of money this year to ward off next year's budget cuts, which means they're going to go on a spending spree right now. So Staples, here I come. If I'm a New York City principal, I'm going to buy all the supplies I can get, all the computers I could possibly get with that extra money now, so I don't have to give it back to the DOE in the fall.
The old corporate and government bureaucracy imperative,
yes,
of spend everything in your budget or they'll think you don't need it for next year.
Right.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig with us as we talk about proposed budget cuts by Mayor Bloomberg and more. Some comments on our comments page. Gerald writes, I'd be sorry to see any teachers fired, but I think our schools would do better with 8% fewer teachers and 50% more respect for education on the part of parents. So that's another whole conversation.
Yeah.
Dave writes, can you explain what it means to lose jobs through attrition? And we throw that term around. Does
right.
it just mean as people retire or leave for any other reason they're not replaced?
Exactly.
Now, we also are seeing, I think, at this moment, businesswoman Kathy Black in action as school's chancellor in her part of this negotiation with the state. In a hearing in Albany, she and Lieutenant Governor Robert Duffy disagreed on whether the Cuomo budget would really cut the city schools as much as Mayor Bloomberg claims. Here's Chancellor Black and Lieutenant Governor Duffy.
Our school districts can deal with the cuts that we need through a number of methods, whether by finding efficiencies, using their unspent funds freezing wages, or reducing administrative salaries.
What we know right now is that we have a $1.4 billion reduction in the budget. I mean, we've got to figure out all the ways that we can go back to the state and say, you cannot do this.
Kathy Black in Albany earlier in the week. So, Beth, for all the hoopla over her lack of education background, this is what businesswoman Kathy Black was really hired for, right? Because in this high-stakes realm of high-finance poker, though she's never done it in a government context, which can be different, she really does have some relevant experience.
Yes, yes. That's why the mayor says he hired her, is that he was very concerned about eliminating teachers in the fall and making do with less, and that he wanted somebody who could do that.
And little things like how to improve graduation rates, she can get that from her deputies.
Well, he has said repeatedly that she is surrounded by fine people, that he is a mayor, even though he didn't have political experience, he had to pick the best people, and that she's in a similar position.
By the way, in New Jersey, Governor Christie is going to propose ending tenure for teachers who are deemed ineffective or only partly effective for a few years in a row. They wouldn't lose their jobs, but they would lose their tenure. And that's another education and teacher story in the news today. I wonder if you can explain the difference. If you can already be fired for incompetence, which even a teacher with tenure can, what does tenure protect you from in the real world?
It's an extra set of due process proceedings, from what I understand. It makes it harder to fire a teacher with tenure because you have to go through a whole round of hearings. And in New York City, as we know, we've had the rubber rooms, which no longer exist, but became the symbol of how long it takes to fire a bad teacher, because you would have hundreds of teachers each year sitting around in these rooms waiting for their hearings. And the union would always claim that the city never hired enough administrative people to handle those hearings, and that's why it took so long, and that you really can remove a teacher if you document it well. But I've heard from principals that it is a lot of bureaucracy to go through. It takes a lot of time. It's very difficult. And what they often do to get rid of teachers is simply say, you know, if I have this fifth grade teacher who I don't think is very good, I'm just going to assign them to teach third grade next year and make their lives miserable. And then they'll leave. And then, unfortunately, for the sake of the city, if that teacher is really bad, they're not fired. They just go into what's called the absent teacher reserve, which is a pool of teachers who continue to be paid their full salaries while they look for work. And this is something that the mayor wants to do. He wants to crack down on that and give them a time limit so that if they don't find a new job within a year, that means that they probably weren't good enough and they should be forced out. The union, however, says a lot of those teachers may be very good but just lost their jobs because positions were eliminated and principals may not want them because they're too expensive.
The limbo formerly known as the rubber room.
Yes.
Briefly, former Chancellor Joel Klein wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. Now that he works for Murdoch, maybe he can get his own education column every week.
I don't know. I bet he had to plead with people for
that.
That's
right. But Klein proposed that the city teachers in the future have a 401k-style retirement plan rather than an actual pension. And if they don't, it'll hollow out public education in the city because of the financial burden of more pensions. Does the mayor approach this at all in the budget coming out today? I realize it's not officially released, but there's no inkling that, you know, because this really started the tongues wagging once Klein placed that piece in the Journal. You don't have any indication that the mayor's going to go that far this year.
No, not yet. No, not at all. We'll see what he says later today. He has talked about pension reform, but I haven't heard that specifically as something to be announced today.
So you think Klein is planting a seed for the next contract negotiation or trying to make the givebacks the mayor wants now seem like small potatoes?
Possibly. This is a lot of inside baseball, but I do know that Klein is continuing to be very active in the movement for education reform as seen by groups who want, and that reform word is so easily bandied about. Anyone can claim themselves to be a reformer, but from the perspective of Joel Klein and groups like Democrats for Education Reform, these are the types of things that they want to chip away at to save more money for classes and children, whereas the unions say that these are very good protections that they need. So we're going to see a lot of this. Unions are under a lot more pressure than we've ever seen.
Indeed.
And it's national. It's not just here.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig. I want to touch on one more thing, because the EPA has discovered dangerous levels of PCBs inside the lighting fixtures of three schools located in one building in East Harlem, which means that all five of the school sites tested so far have revealed toxic levels of the substance. PCBs have been banned since 1979. We think of them as chemicals that GE dumped into the Hudson River once upon a time. How did they get into the lighting fixtures of public schools?
All right, this, you got to think back to the 50s when chemicals were great and we were going to use them for everything. And PCBs, because they're an excellent form of insulation, these little oily substances, became part of the ballast, which is what regulates the voltage and power in a fluorescent light. And they were used in these little ballasts, which are black boxes, maybe 8 inches long, as the form of insulation. And there's several different ways in which they were used in there to cool and prevent the light from shorting out. But over the years, when it became known that PCBs were toxic, nobody removed these older lighting fixtures. And recently, the EPA has been warning school districts, you know, you better get rid of this. They're getting older, they're leaking. And last year, the EPA made an agreement with the city to look at 6 schools as part of a pilot study to see how much PCBs are really in the schools. And at first they thought that the likeliest source would be the caulk in the windows. But it turned out that there were actually more PCBs leaking from lighting fixtures. So they went and they removed them. They removed the lighting fixtures. And they said the schools were fine. You know, they did this over the summer with 4 out of the 6 schools they were supposed to test. And then in around December, after the EPA put out guidelines telling school districts across the country, hey, we think these lighting fixtures are leaking. You got to get rid of them. At least get rid of the ballasts if you don't get rid of the fixture itself. They told New York City to do this, and the city said, whoa, that's going to be super expensive. And then the EPA started checking on its own. They won't say that this was to force the city's hand, but they are checking every week. They're going to another school. And so far, they have found 5 school buildings that have PCBs in their lighting fixtures that are above the standard limit. And then because they're there, the city has to remove them.
PS11 in Brooklyn, PS13, 358, all those, I think they're all in Brooklyn, in addition to the East Harlem school we mentioned. What should parents do protect their kids, if
anything?
This is
where it gets I don't want to be alarmist about it, because when they're there and they're leaking, it's not an immediate health hazard. You can maybe compare it to secondhand smoke. You know, it may not bother you at all. It may not affect you. Or years later, you may get cancer, because PCBs are linked to carcinogenic and to nervous system problems, all kinds of endocrine disorders, ADD, things like that. However, the EPA has repeatedly stated that the limits that they have set are very, very conservative, and that when they found PCBs in the air in the schools that they tested last summer, they were not so high as to be an immediate health hazard, that they just are saying, get them out, because we don't know what's going to happen down the road. In December or early January, the city responded to a teacher on Staten Island who found leaking PCBs, and they tested and found that they were in a high concentration. Then they said they weren't in the air at a very high concentration, just in the actual ballast. Mm-hmm. And so you may remember that became a whole scare on Staten Island. And parents were very, very worried. I went through to a hearing and they kept saying, how do we know this isn't going to affect our kids? Maybe we should have a study to see what happens. And the EPA said, we don't know. There's no way to isolate it, because people eat PCBs all the time. They're in our fish. They're in our food chain. So you don't know if it came from a lighting fixture. So what you have now is the EPA sending out on one message, get rid of them. We don't think it's good to have there. It's a long-term threat potentially. But on the other hand, it's not an immediate health hazard. It's not going to, you know, kill your kid tomorrow or anything like that. Don't worry too much. But they want to pressure the city clearly to get them out.
So this is going to be every school, 1,000 schools or whatever the exact number is, 1,100 schools?
I can give you an exact number. The city actually put out a memo to the EPA where they said that out of all of the buildings that they own, there's, you know, something like 1,700 schools, but a lot of them share the same buildings. The city has figured out that there are 772 buildings that have the type of lighting fixtures that would contain PCBs. That's as many as 564,000 fixtures with the PCB ballasts. So you can understand why this is a financial nightmare for the city. And the city has balked at having to replace them all, and they're now negotiating with the EPA how to figure out a system for inspecting them all and gradually removing them.
How many teacher layoffs is that the equivalent of?
I have no idea.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, the U.S. and its special relationship with Bahrain. So can the U.S. government stop the government violence that's going on over there with the protest demonstrations? You know, the U.S. 5th Naval Fleet is housed in this postage stamp-sized nation on the Gulf. Stay with us.